This is White Mountain Rescue Session 1. This is a kind of playtest campaign of the in-development Carve from Brindlewood game White Mountain Rescue, written by our very own and currently present Daniel Qualls here, that I will be running because I like this game a lot. My name is Alex Rubitsky. I use he, they pronouns. And we're just going to introduce everyone real quick, starting with Wes.
Hi, I'm Wes Franks. You can follow me on all the social medias at Wes Frank. It's not at Wes Franks, it's Thirsttrap Mothman. My pronouns are they and he. Go to my website, carrion-comfort.com. I don't know why I'm promoing right now. Move on, please, in this.
Very good. Chaotic, you go next.
I'm Chaotic. I use he, they pronouns, and I'm on Discord as Chaotic Blade. I'm probably on your Discord server because I'm on a lot of them.
That is, probably in fact, far. A threat.
Yeah. I will have opinions about your games, and they may be right, they may be wrong. Who knows?
Daniel, take us away.
I'm Daniel Qualls, he, they, and I appreciate you guys having interest in White Mountain Rescue. It's been really fun. And to give Alex some credit, he's made lots of contributions. When we went on the Gauntlet Retreat, I got a lot of feedback from a lot of really great game designers, Wes included. This is what we've come up with.
Very good. And B.
Hi, I'm B, they, them. I'm dabbling in game design. You might know me more as a voice actor or at Sassy Lich on Twitter. I was like, I can't let Wes have the only ridiculous username on here. But
I'm pretty confident that Xander Bimsky is a good username, so I'll promo that as well. Let's throw that out there into the mix. Very good. Very good.
Love it.
Fantastic. Awesome. Awesome. Very excited to be here. Awesome. Let's talk about the CATS. CATS is an acronym that stands for Concept, Aim, Tone, and Subject Matter. The purpose of CATS is just to establish some basic expectations about the game we're going to be playing. So, concept. White Mountain Rescue is a role-playing game about a group of search and rescue professionals working for or with the United States Forest Service. They have heard tales of strange occurrences in the White Mountain National Forest that straddles New Hampshire and Maine, but now they are finding themselves encountering more and more bizarre phenomena while deep in the forest on search and rescue missions. They soon realize that there is a malevolent supernatural force that connects all the accounts of missing people they try to locate and rescue. They will come to realize that another reality called the Mountains of Verdigris is bleeding into their own reality, and they will have to confront it to keep their neighboring communities safe. The game is directly inspired by the Reddit blog series Search and Rescue Woods, the television shows Northwoods Law, Justified, Stephen King's The Mist, and the role-playing game Brindlewood Bay by Jason Cordova. The game is not based on actual search and rescue operations in the White Mountain National Forest, but instead is portrayed as if it was a fictional TV series based on search and rescue procedures. In reality, these operations would fall under the jurisdiction of local sheriff's departments. The aim of the characters in this game is to try to rescue hikers and campers who are lost under mysterious circumstances and try to figure out what is happening in the White Mountain Forest. Our aim as players is to learn more about these wilderness first responders and learn why they keep going into the forest as we explore the strange phenomena in the White Mountain National Forest. The tone of this game goes from wilderness exploration and rescue to mysterious and creepy. It is mostly business as usual for these Forest Service professionals, but it will also get very dark and grim with some of the failed rescues that become recovery missions. Some lighthearted or even dark humor is allowed, but typically the characters take their jobs very seriously since civilian lives are on the line. Subject matter, gruesome deaths, unexplained disappearances, harm to forest animals, threats to animals and children, stalking, lost or disoriented in the forest, drowning, injuries due to falling, abduction, dismemberment, and other intense supernatural subject matter. We have safety tools in play, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. But generally there's going to be just kind of a blanket horror, creepy vibe, interspersed with probably plenty of humor, knowing these people that I'm playing with. So for our safety tools, we are primarily using Lines and Veils, the X card, and the Open Door Policy. X card, very simple. If something comes up in the game that makes you uncomfortable in an unfun way, you can just type in our chat here, X card, or just say X card. I will never ask what is being X carded, or why, sorry, I'll never ask why it's being X carded, but I'll ask probably maybe for clarification in case there's a lot going on. Regardless, we won't dive too deep into it, and we will just adjust to move around it as necessary. Open door policy, also very simple. If for any reason you just need to go, you're welcome to go. We won't question it. Just tell us you got to go, and we will continue play as normal. Lines and veils, we have on our character keeper a tracker for this. Lines are things that are not going to appear in the game whatsoever. Veils are things we don't mind exploring in the game, just not in like depth with roleplay or just not focusing in too much graphic detail. We have some lines and veils already listed out here. I will read those out, and if anyone wants to add more as we're going, I'll refer back after we finish going over character stuff. So currently our lines are harm to children, harm to pets and domestic animals, homophobia and transphobia, racism, sexism, sexual assault and sexual violence, and slavery. Our current veils are torture, slurs, and that's it. Okay, so feel free to adjust, and we will check back in with that later. But yeah, we already, everyone here made characters already. I'm going to give, just for any folks who might be listening, a quick overview of the playbooks in White Mountain Rescue, since this uses, character archetypes. In the game right now, there is the veteran, a seasoned team member who has worked for the National Forest Service for decades. They are close to retirement and plan on moving far away from New Hampshire to Florida. The rookie is the newest and youngest member to the search and rescue team. They are straight out of the academy with all the latest training and have landed their dream job with the NFS. The warden is somewhat of a local celebrity who has the love of the people of the region. They are on loan from the game warden service and have actually written a book on search and rescue procedures. The ranger is a law enforcement officer, also known as a Leo, tasked with protecting the forest and all the folks and animals within its borders. They know every inch of White Mountain Forest and are known for their resourcefulness as well as their toughness. The medic is a wilderness first responder, also known as a woofer. With even more certificates and training to boot, they see the Forest Service as a stepping stone to a better position with the federal government. And lastly, the benefactor, which was formerly called the volunteer last time I played this game. Got a rename. The benefactor is a wealthy philanthropist that includes volunteering in search and rescue endeavors in their good works portfolio. The Forest Service could not turn down the benefactor's added resources on top of not wanting to upset a wealthy donor. So those are our playbooks. We're just going to go in character keeper order here. When it's your turn, just tell us what playbook you're playing. You don't have to go into all the character details quite yet. We'll get to that next. Just let's see. Starting with B.
I'm playing the medic.
Yeah, very good. Chaotic.
I am playing the ranger.
Very nice. Daniel.
I am playing the veteran.
And Wes.
And I am playing the benefactor.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Synergy.
So, water just splashed in my eye. Okay. That gauntlet cup was violent. Very good. So you guys already put in a bunch of details already. We're about to go over those, and we'll populate the area of your sheet called the personal items as well. But going over this, you have picked your character's name, their look, their stress reliever, the kind of thing they do to, alleviate stress. And make sure you've also added one to your starting ability scores if you haven't already. You get to do that. I think Daniel's the only one who's done that so far. So yeah, just bump a number up. You get to get a free bump. And also, they're not on the character keeper, but all of your characters also have a drive, which are on the playbook sheet. So make sure you've taken a look at what your character's drive is. That's kind of like the reason you keep enduring all this stuff. So I think everyone's now marked their stat increase. Going in the same character keeper order, tell us your playbooks, your character's name, pronouns, their look, stress reliever, and drive. And you feel free to tell us a little bit about your starting moves that you've picked. We're going to circle back and do the like the flavor text for the playbook when we're about to populate the items. But for now, we're just going to go get a vibe for everyone.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, it's in the same order. I almost forgot. My character's name is Roderick Lops. You can call him Roddy Lops, anything really. He'll answer to a hey. They look a white baseball cap with a red cross symbol, green BDU pants, pockets full, which for those of you who don't know what BDU pants are, those are just glorified cargo pants, and shorter than the others. Stress reliever, studying for advanced certification. I feel that. So I, you know. And the drive. So each drive comes with a specific question, which I thought was really cool. And this, the medic's specific question for drive is, for your career path, you know you need to stick to this job for at least 3 years. What are some unorthodox coping mechanisms you've come up with so far? And mine is specifically doing anything for an adrenaline rush. Like, I want this for a better federal job, but I could have done a lot of other things that aren't search and rescue. And I did this because I missed the adrenaline rush of the military because my move is prior military service.
All right. I will be playing Mike Hesters. Pretty much is green. Like, his uniform is all green. He has a green hat, green shirt, green pants. He also has leather gaiters, which are just very large plasticky boots. And a hands-free radio set because he doesn't want to lose contact with anyone. His stress reliever is drinking black coffee from a thermos. And his drive is, after the first strange things you started seeing in the wilderness, you thought you might be losing your sanity. What keeps you going back into the forest now that you suspect that you're sane? Well, someone has to be standing against the darkness of those woods. Someone needs to defend from the regular population because the forest is always looking to spread.
I can't help but think of just like the vibe I'm getting from Mike is just staring ominously into the distance and just people asking like, what you staring at, Mike? Just nothing. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Sergeant Hank McBride, the veteran, wears a blaze orange baseball cap, safety first. He has a gray beard, and he wears a khaki tan Forest Service uniform. His stress reliever is talking about the good old days. And his drive is, the prompt for that is, despite all the crap that you've had to endure these past 5 or 6 years under new management, you still plan on working until you retire. Explain why you turned down a lucrative early retirement incentive program last year. And the reason why he turned it down is because when he was like in the middle of his career, all his mentors and the old timers then, when they all retired, two or three of them, when they all retired, they died from like heart attacks and strokes and things like that months after they retired. So there's a part of Hank that is trying to he's trying to work out how he can keep going and not die here, but then also not retire and die there.
So we're going to do this very much appropriately. Hi, my name is Dallas Bartmoss, and I am the CEO and head chairperson of the board of Bartmoss Data Solutions. Here at Bartmoss Data Solutions, we strive to make sure that everyone, including me, Dallas Bartmoss, pronouns they, them, have the right look for this company. That includes wearing a Stetson hat, having perfectly manicured nails, and wearing European hiking boots. Let me tell you a little bit about myself before we talk about Bart Moss Data Solutions. My main stress relief is talking about the philanthropic work that I do throughout my life. I'm very, very passionate about helping others. Also, the prompt for my drive is sorry. You help the Forest Service for a lot of reasons. Explain why you'd rather be outside making a difference with your own two hands rather than just paying someone else to do it. Well, here at Bart Moss Data Solutions, from the top all the way to the bottom, we personally strive and believe that a job isn't worth doing if you can't do it yourself. And you know what? There's no shame in doing a job yourself. A lot of pride. A lot of things that you can grow and learn from. Every day is a gift. So why not unwrap that gift?
Oh, incredible. Fantastic. Oh, very good. And I actually think I want to ride that momentum, and we're actually now going reverse character keeper order. I want to hear Dallas's playbook flavor text, which you can either look at it on the actual like playbook document, or you can hover over the title on our character keeper and it'll give a little pop-up of the text there as well. I know notes are fun. So yeah, read that little flavor text, and then the rest of us will suggest an item we think Dallas Bart Moss has in their personal items. Feel free to request, feel free to veto suggestions or request an alteration. But let's hear a little bit about the playbook itself.
Dallas Bart Moss is the benefactor. You were able to take your family's fortune and turn it into an empire. Your company dominates an industry and is a household name in New Hampshire and Vermont. After reaping the rewards from years of success, you have recently turned to philanthropic work, specifically in supporting people's enjoyment of the great outdoors. Your nonprofit foundation has partnered with the U.S. Forest Service, and you have poured resources into White Mountain National Forest. The only catch was that from time to time, you're allowed to volunteer on for on a forest firefighting, animal tagging, and search and rescue operations. Of course, they said, "Sure thing." This message was brought to you by Dallas Bart Moss and Bart Moss Data Solutions.
I just so everyone knows, just because I really want to point this out on our character keeper, which is Kit Bash from a Delta Green character keeper I found, and like I left the like employee signature at the bottom, and Wes signed his Dallas Bart Moss, and then in smaller text, sent from my iPhone. It's a star. I just want to throw out there right fucking now. Very good. I know. I'm inspired by the little picture you chose for Dallas. I'm gonna say that Dallas has a well-oiled whip.
I'm gonna say that I'm gonna up your European hiking boots, and I'm gonna say your European hiking boots are actually $2,400 European hiking boots for your you can take those home.
I think
But
just part of like your professional kit and computer, since you did say like you're part of like the fire team and like that sort of thing, I think you have I think you have a fire hose like.
my own personal fire hose.
I need to know for my sake how that works in the wilderness. I
Don't
want
know.
It's just very small.
just a very isn't that just a fire extinguisher?
Maybe.
At Bart Moss Data Solutions, we don't try to minimize the things that people contribute. We try to maximize them.
I think you have like a weatherproof watch with like all the bells and whistles. It's got a compass. It can like gauge pressure. It can go like 60 feet underwater for no reason. And it has Bart Moss Solutions, like it's branded, engraved on the side.
We partnered with Omega.
Oh, this is so fun. Love this. I'm into this so much. Wes, you playing a terrible like tech bro in the woods is gonna be so fucking hilarious.
If you can't tell, I've been watching a lot of Yellowstone.
Oh my God, amazing. All right, Wes, you happy with all those?
Absolutely.
All right, Daniel, tell us about the veteran.
The veteran, Hank McBride, you've been with the U.S. Forest Service for 20 plus years in a variety of roles. You were a wildlife conservation officer, a forest ranger, a firefighter, and now as a search and rescue officer. You've been entrusted with protecting visitors and preserving the wildlife of White Mountain National Forest for most of your adult life. Those days are almost over, and you put in for your retirement for reasons you won't discuss. Some of your coworkers think you're just being salty for not being promoted to forest supervisors. Others say you're burnt out. They can think what they want because in a few weeks, you're moving to Florida, Pensacola.
I'm going to kick this off real quick because, and I will provide you two with your personal items. I have to step away just for like 10 minutes, but I'll be right back. But I had to just get in for this. Hank, you have a framed photo of the White Mountain Forest Rescue Service. It's a framed photo of the team from 1983 at a volleyball bash. And very clearly, you can see a shirtless Hank McBride wearing a trucker cap, thick mustache, shirtless, hairy, rippling with muscle, just standing right there in the middle, doing the dad pose at beach photos. Yeah.
Magical. I don't know. I feel like I have an idea. It's kind of redundant, but also just because I feel like I want to do it. You have David Umbargo's personal cell number. David Umbargo, the Forest Service official forest supervisor that will be a recurring character in this game. That I hate him so much, just so we're clear.
I know you have a Leatherman multi-tool already in your stuff, but I think you have like a much larger pocket knife, the kind you flip out that's super well worn, and you've probably got it before you got your multi-tool. You've probably had it since you started the Forest Service.
For some reason, I just want to give Hank a large net.
Just a large net. Love that.
We'll use that large net. Save lives.
You never know when you need a net.
Never know when you need a net. And when you don't have a net, you really need a net. I mean, very true. All right. Those good with you, Daniel? Fantastic. Chaotic, let's hear about the Ranger.
You are a forest ranger for the U.S. Forest Service, and in addition to protecting visitors and wildlife, you are also tasked enforcing laws and forest regulations, either by land, water, or air. You have been over every single inch of the White Mountain National Forest, and you know it well. Your expertise and experience with the White Mountain landed you a key on the spot, on the search and rescue team. In recent years, you have seen strange things out in the wilderness and thought you might be losing your mind. But on this team, you ha now have other eyes and ears to help confirm the oddness. And I'll say out loud for the recording what's already in my personal items. I have a service revolver and authority to make arrests. So I have a gun.
Yes, the quick little fun side story is that when we play tested this back in May, we suggested mostly just because the items we got were useless functionally. We still got use out of them, but like Daniel decided I should probably give you guys some items like that are like that that make sense that they would have, and the service revolver and the authority to make arrests made its first appearance, I believe, there. So that, yeah. And you also took the ATV as your additional move, right?
Yes.
That's fun.
It doesn't count as a personal item. It does not. Yeah. That's why I didn't put it there. Yep. I could have gotten more guns. But I chose against it.
I mean, just looking at it right there on the sheet, I gotta tell you, you have your, like, trusty, reliable, probably, like, harder than the rock face of the mountain itself, like, a coffee thermos.
Mm. Oh my god.
Yes. It has served you well over the years, you know? It's probably even saved your life once or twice. Like maybe it has, like, maybe you got, like, fucking attacked by a bear at one point. It just has, like, a dent where the bear could have, like, clawed you or something. I don't know.
Oh my god, that's amazing. I think you have an incredibly high-powered flashlight. Like, it could blind a person. You can decide how large or small the flashlight is.
I'm going to make it large.
Sick.
I think you have a packet of like hand-drawn maps and notes that you've made to existing maps where you found things that like don't, that aren't represented on actual maps. So you have like this packet of your own maps.
Oh. Ooh. I have ideas about what's on the maps, but I won't say them for now.
Very good. And we'll have Wes contribute an item when they get back. For now, though, let's hear about the medic.
I'm going to use that lovely little hover on this character. It's so cool. All right. Roderick Lopp is the medic. You've picked up certifications, licenses, and training from all over the place. You're always learning and padding your resume at the same time. You finally landed a federal job due to your Wilderness First Responder certification. The U.S. Forest Service is just a stepping stone to something else. Maybe Border Patrol, maybe something with Homeland Security. You keep your eye on the federal job boards, but so far so good working in New England. The pay is not what you thought it would be, but the benefits are worth it. Plus, it seems almost impossible to get fired. Win-win in your book. And... Yo, go ahead. No, I was just going to tell you I already have a first aid kit. Continue, Chaotic.
When you said that it's impossible to get fired, I'm going to give you in your personal items a reputation for trouble.
Ooh.
Obsessed with this.
I'm going to say you have on your jacket or your shirt, you have a pass with no trace certified patch. So it says certified pass with no trace.
I love that.
I'll lean into your move that you took for prior military service. You have a purple heart.
Oh, all right. Don't know what I did, but I'm into it.
You got injured, that's for sure. But hey, we'll see how that comes into play. Love that. And then once Wes is back as well, we will circle back on a couple of those. This is great. I think for now we will take a quick little break, pause the recording, and when Wes comes back, we will finish up and get ready to start playing, you guys. Ooh. All right. So we will be right back. All right. So we are about to start playing, but before we do, I have to address one of the first responders. And I think I want to choose Sergeant Hank McBride as the veteran of the team. Hank, at some point, whether it was this morning or last night or sometime very recently, you've realized that something personal you've almost always carried on you has inexplicably vanished. What was this item and what was its meaning to you?
I'm going to say it was a magic hat, brewery, bottle cap opener that was on my keychain, and all the branding and for Magic Hat has been scratched off, but it was given to me by somebody that like a superstar on the team who transferred out to somewhere else, but we all like this team member, and when they left, that's what they gave me, because we all like this Magic Hat Brewery, which is not too far away in Burlington, Vermont. So that's what it was.
Very good. I mean, right on the keychain, how it disappeared, you have no idea. And no matter how long you look for it, it does not turn up. But anyway, let's introduce our first rescue. A little bit about how the game structure works in White Mountain Rescue is we play rescues one at a time, a la Brindlewood Bay Murders. And when those are resolved, we move on to the following phases between jobs. So there will not be multiple things going on at once. It'll just be the current operation. Our starting rescue is going to be the Lost Camper. The White Mountain National Park has been notified of a camper that has not checked in with his family in a couple of days, and they are afraid he got lost or is hurt. His name is Paul Foster, and he is 31 years old and works as a digital media consultant in upstate New York. His family reports he is in great health and has been camping alone or with friends in the White Mountains for the last 10 years. He parked in the Barnesfield campground parking lot near Gorham, New Hampshire, but he had a dispersed camping permit, which means he could camp outside of a designated campground. However, there are several families camping in RVs and tents near where he parked, as well as a campground manager who issued him a parking pass. Let's paint the scene. This circular campground has a large information board at the entrance, a small staff cabin, water and electricity hookups, large picnic pavilion, and about 10 or so campers in RVs or tents set up in the campground. What about the campground seems, thankfully, completely normal.
There's a bear bag hanging from the tree. Where it's supposed to be. It's where you keep your food. You just hang it up in a tree. The little critters can't get to it.
I think there's just a lot of sound of, like, not quite arguments, but rather like parents trying to get like their kids wrangled and whatnot, then playing tag, them picking up rocks, and the parents are like, no, put it back where you found it. No, I do not want to see that worm, and that sort of thing. It's just family chatter.
I think that there is the distinct smell of DEET and sunscreen kind of mixing with the forest smells that maybe some overzealous campers have they really don't want to get bit by mosquitoes, but it's normal. You can.
I'm going to say there is like the trash, like some of the trash receptacles are overflowing and which is normal. And people are trying to police amongst themselves and pick it up and until somebody from the park services can get rid of the trash. But it seems like typical stuff.
Very good. This could turn into just a safety and welfare check. Like Paul Foster's cell phone just was out of energy, so no law enforcement officers are on site. You do find both Paul's vehicle, a fairly new black Tacoma pickup truck, as well as the hiking trail he took to set up his camp. His family has said that he likes to camp about 3 or 4 miles off the beaten path. I have an establishing question for Mike Hesters, our ranger. Paul Foster came here 4 days ago and then lost contact with his family 2 days ago, so there is not going to be a lot of evidence of where he set up his camp on the trail. However, from what you know about the area a few miles around the campground, what is a likely place he set up camp?
There's some creeks and brooks near the area, and typically you want to like have a good resource of water if you're going to be staying off the beaten path, because you don't have access to like normal plumbing and whatnot. So like it's probably around there.
Very good. We have a rescue question, which is Paul Foster still alive? That is a complexity 8 question that you'll be gathering your rescue clues for. That will allow you to have the opportunity to locate and escort Paul Foster back to his car or recover his body. I guess we'll find out. There's also a crown available for this rescue, the Crown of Loneliness, which is available for anyone to mark just the once, and then we'll all get to narrate some of those prompts. But, all right, the scene is set. We begin at the Barnesfield campground. You guys have pulled up. You can see that there's Paul's car is in the parking lot as well, and the staff office building, as well as the various like campers and RVs around the area. What is everyone doing? We are in the scene. Role play.
You see Dallas Bartmoth. They are wearing their wide brim Stetson hat, essentially how photo, just, you know, clean shaven, nice, and has gone through the full daily routine, wearing a nice to fit in, you know, what is that jacket brand that I love and I have multiple jackets of, that tried to get canceled by right wingers this past year.
Carhartt,
yes, is wearing like a Carhartt like range jacket. It's got like a leather collar on it and everything. It's like a canvas jacket, and is like doing stretches. So you see, like doing like calf stretches, and is like, you know, just doing trunk twists. A little bit of you want to just give yourself a hug, you know, and just stretch as much as you can, and twist.
That gets a, like, kind of like a befuddled look from Roderick, who is just like, what are you doing? Like, he grasps what he's doing, like, what Dallas is doing right now, but he's not gonna be doing that with them, and he's pretty sure they should have done that way before, if they were gonna,
like my casters did before we actually drove up the little trail and whatnot. Roderick, are we going to be checking out the vehicle or whatnot? Because I think like that's more of your sort of thing.
I mean, obviously I can. Hank, what do you think?
See what you guys can find. I'm going to go talk to the site manager.
All right.
Me and Hank have we got it locked down talking to the campsite manager. Go ahead and get a little bit of a good cop, bad cop on them. No, you want to put the, you know, you want to be the grease or do you want to be the squeaky wheel this time, Hank?
I think it'll just be, we'll just, yeah, let me do the introductions down.
Yeah, you do the introductions.
We appreciate that you're here, Hank. Though.
I'm
glad you're here, but let me see if I can, because I think I know him. I don't know who's on duty. I think I know the manager.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got the inside scoop. Interdepartmental liaisons. I get it. Okay. All right. Yeah. All 5'7" of Dallas Bartmoth is like, I'll just be the muscle.
So what we've done is we've just established, just so we're clear, we've established that Dallas Bartmoss is 5'7", which means Rod Lops is under 5'7", because the shortest in the group. Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. I'm
oh,
loving
that's
this.
Fabulous. I love this
so
already.
Sergeant McBride and Dallas Bartmoss walk over to the campground manager's office. Rod and Mike, you guys are by Paul's black Tacoma pickup. It is near a wooden sign that shows the way to Bennett's Ridge Trail. And I mean, trucks like this can be opened with a standard issue law enforcement Slim Jim, which I do think Mike would probably have as a ranger, or at least would have otherwise brought access to. So his car's parked up here. Are you guys, what are you doing?
Jimmying it open, of course.
Yeah.
Like I'm just bringing Roderick because because I know like Sergeant McBride is pretty decent at talking like to the rest of the sort of forestry service. And well, I don't really want to bring Dallas along on this because Dallas will just keep on talking and when it's not really necessary.
I'm just glad someone else is wrangling them, honestly. That's sort of like I didn't want them accidentally touching any evidence if this is some kind of crime scene adjacent thing.
Don't think it is. I think
I
it
don't think it
probably.
is either, but like there's always the possibility. You gotta assume the worst and then go from there.
Yeah, let's paint the scene about the interior of Paul's black Tacoma pickup. Inside the truck, there are White Mountain Forest maps and empty water bottles. What can be found in the truck that lets you know Paul is health conscious?
Oh, there's protein powder, like this just big jug of it. It's like half empty because like he took like some of it on the trail with him.
Oh my God, amazing. I think that there's those little hydration packets that like marathon runners use. Those little gels that like I'm not sure if they're actually good for you, but
I want to say there was like an audio book, but we wouldn't see it.
it's like cassette or something. I don't know
Yeah,
why.
or like CDs of like some like be your best you and how to get into shape by walking long
Get
walks or
get
something.
into shape by shaping your mind or some shit like that. Like,
There is a bobblehead that was glued by the previous owner of this Toyota Tacoma to the dashboard of famed baseball player Ichiro Suzuki from the Seattle Mariners. So it's just this little cartoon giant head of this Japanese god of baseball that is just
that's so
permanently
specific.
glued on the dashboard.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, interesting. Well, you two see a lot of that as you're looking through the pickup truck. What are you doing?
Oh, I was expected to like find this sort of thing in Dallas's vehicle, but that's neither here nor there.
I think I'm looking for like any sort of evidence that maybe the missing person left quicker than they were meaning to, a cell phone left in the car, evidence of like camping supplies left here that they maybe weren't meaning to leave. That's generally the vibe.
Absolutely. This is going to be the search move, which this is a car from Brindlewood Games. So a lot of the moves are very similar to what we expect. But I'll still read out the text for anyone listening and for our reference. The search move, when you search for a clue or are generally gathering information, describe how you're doing so and roll with the appropriate ability. This feels like reason to me. I mean, you're kind of like searching the vehicle and just trying to like, if not necessarily find anything directly, like maybe like find some sign of like a vibe or otherwise like picking up on information. So yeah, that'll be base 2d6 roll plus your reason score. And of course you can feel free to market an item for advantage if you feel like you can justify it.
I don't think I can justify any of these items. And also, I don't want to waste an item on this right now.
Fair enough.
So I'm gonna roll two dice. I got a little random dice roller.
Love that.
And so please remind me, because it's been a
Yes.
minute since I played a car from Brindlewood game. Do you take the highest?
No, you add the two together, then add the modifier on top of that. So it'll be
Fabulous. I was thinking of
2d6 plus
trophy.
one. You were yes. And
I was thinking of trophy.
I play a lot of trophies, so yes.
So six, and then plus my reason is a seven.
Seven. So on a 7 to 9, there is a complication, either with the clue itself or a complication you encounter while searching. We'll get back to that. Let's cut over to our other two first responders, Sergeant Hank and Dallas, walking over to the campground manager's office. It's like a standard like cabin kind of like office building. They're not particularly large on the inside. You can kind of hear the grinding whir of like a standing fan It's not too hot this time of year, but you know, it's just keeping some good airflow in here. Everything very like rustic and like timber aesthetics as well. And indeed, Sergeant Hank, you are familiar with the representative currently on duty. Doris Blassingham is the campground manager for Barnes Field. She is in her late 40s, glasses, short hair, dressed in a khaki National Forest employee uniform with a dark green baseball cap, and is currently conversing with a, it looks like a camper, this older gentleman in his 60s, you'd imagine, gray hair and a mustache. He's wearing a t-shirt with a grizzly bear catching a fish on it, cargo shorts, and black socks with his sandals. They seem to be like, he very much seems like to be a camper, and Doris is engaged very, very busily in like trying to meet the needs of not just this gentleman, but you can also see like she's got like a bunch of like notes and like things she's attending to, like matters. She's very busy attending to the needs of the campers of Barnes Field when the two of you enter.
I give her a hearty wave.
Yeah, Doris glances up, a little harried from the interaction with the gentleman, and just kind of like gives like a nod back and just kind of like holds up a finger, just being like, you know, 1 second. And she says, yeah, all right. So just so I'm clear, is that everything you wanted, sir? And the camper looks kind of like contemplative for a quick moment as he's like thinking over things.
I don't know. How do you feel about, I don't know, is the water good, you know, this time of year? You know, we've been here about a week and we're heading out tomorrow, and you know, the grandkids want to get one more swim in the pond before we go, but I heard some other people talking about algae content. And Doris says, sir, we have no reason to believe that there is anything wrong with swimming in the pond right now. Just, I think you will be good. But I mean, like, but like, just in case there was something wrong, like, is what sort of like the expectation should I have? Should we like call, I don't know, what if it's an allergy? And she's, sir, I really do doubt that you're that really, you know, sorry, one moment, sir. And she kind of diverts her attention to the other NFS professional who has walked in alongside the very impressively dressed Dallas Bartmoss. She says, Sergeant McBride, welcome, welcome. Sorry, you caught me in the middle of, keeping everything running smooth as normal. Sergeant McBride, this is Mr. Hilliard, one of our campers. This is Sergeant McBride, Hank McBride. He's been on the service for many years now. How old is Hank, by the way?
He's got to be pushing 60.
Yeah, so you're about the same age as, you know, a little younger than this camper gentleman, and he just kind of goes like, hey, how you doing? Carl Hilliard. And like holds a hand out to shake yours.
Great weather for camping. And this site's looking really good. Very, it's looking a lot better than it used to. Right, Doris? Hey, Doris, we're here for this health and welfare check. This Paul Foster, he's not checked in with his family. You know anything about that?
Oh yeah, I know. They told me that you were going to be coming to talk about this. Just one moment. And the other gentleman goes, health and welfare check. Something bad happen? Should my family?
Have you seen anything out there, desperado?
I beg your pardon, sir.
This is mighty concerned about algae content inside ponds, which seems to be a quite a. I don't know, strange request for somebody that's just enjoying their time out here on, you know, in the forest.
This is outdoor enthusiast, Dallas Bartmoss.
You can just call me Dallas. Well, my friends call me Dallas, but, for the nature of these, this investigation, you can call me Mr. You can just call me Dallas.
Doris is, her head's kind of on a swivel, just like looking between Dallas and Carl and now Hank, and just really just kind of looking back and forth. And then she just goes, anyway, yeah, Sergeant, that about Paul, I got some, I took some information down for you over here if you'd like to speak about that, and just kind of directs you over there with Dallas also talking to Carl. And Carl saying like, I don't understand what you're saying to me, sir, but Carl Hilliard, very nice to meet you. He just, you know, holds his hand out to shake yours as well.
Hilliard. That. English in origin?
Yeah, my family's from America.
Interesting. You love America, Mr. Hilliard?
Damn straight. Damn straight.
I love America too. It's the greatest country in the world. That's why it brings a tear to my eye every time one of our great citizens goes missing out in the woods. I was just wondering if you had any information on a missing character that's been camping out here by the name of pulls out a phone. Paul Foster, 31 years old, the digital media consultant in upstate New York. Really important job.
Oh well, my family's we're from Vermont, but I don't know any digital
maple
media
syrup country.
Yeah, you've been up there.
Yeah, once or twice.
Oh, nice. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just been me and the wife and the grandkids for about a week here. If how long has this Paul fella been missing for?
Well,
he's not checked in with his family in a couple of days. But he's probably here. He probably pulled in this black Tacoma when you guys were here.
Oh yeah, I don't know, in the parking lot. Yeah, that's a Tacoma. It's a nice car. Let's see. You know, Dallas, on this front, you can give me a search move plus your presence.
Given just the evil eye going on. Probably does a little bit of a spit on the ground just to emphasize the...
yes, the terminology being grease cop and squeaky cop. Is that what we're doing? So
yeah, the squeaky wheel. Who's the grease and who's the squeaky wheel? Yeah, all right, okay. That is... thanks to Microsoft Bing Dice Roller. Shout out, not an ad.
Why is everything a plug with you?
this is who I am now. You do enough actual plays, you're not a real person anymore. You're just a content machine. So that is a 6 plus a 3 plus my 2 presents. That brings me up to an 11.
An 11, very nice. You'll just get a straight up clue. And we'll get back to that as I want to have Doris and Hank kind of step off to the side here and step behind the desk for a moment as she's showing Hank. She's got like the camp registry of when like Paul signed in, showed him that the dispersed camping license that was approved and all that. And Doris is saying, well, yeah, Hank, I mean, it's been pretty busy here. I've been working a lot of overtime given how short staffed we've been. You know how it is, I'm sure.
Don't get me started.
I don't plan to, but I do know Paul.
Well, what we're afraid of is like maybe just his cell phone went dead and he can't check in. Or do you know if he's on any pre-existing medications or have any health issues?
You can go. You can also roll search move plus presence.
What is my presence? It's zero. I've got a 5 and a 3, 8 plus 0.
Eight. So 8, clue with a complication. Very good. Let me consult my list here real quick. I mean, yeah. Let's see. I think as she's going, she says, well, given that we've been short-staffed, I've been doing a lot of the campground cleanup duty as well, which between everything else has been a lot of time. I did stumble across this on a brief little survey of the area earlier yesterday morning. She was like rifling through a drawer. It's like, it's kind of like the makeshift, like lost and found of this office, which mostly comes down to like things that aren't justifiably trash enough to be thrown away and usually never get claimed. This is stuff like socks or necklaces or things that people might want, but eventually just end up somewhere. Rifle Sir and gets a plastic bag out with a broken Samsung Galaxy cell phone that's like, you know, screen kind of like smashed. It's kind of like bent almost like a rough V shape. She says, I didn't have anyone make a report of a broken, of that they broke their phone, but I did find this. I was going to send it to maybe the main office so they can get some tech guys to look at it just to get data off of it. I'm not really familiar with how these things work, to be honest.
It looks pretty smashed, but I think we'll go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
Just in case. If we find him, we can ask him if it's his.
Yeah.
If not, we can get it, somebody to see what's inside these things.
So that is your clue, is a broken Samsung Galaxy cell phone. Now your complication, I'm going to give you a condition, unless you use a crown. I will ask just in general, how is Sergeant McBride feeling today?
I think pensive. I think he's pensive because he's thinking that this just might turn out to be something horrible. And he's hoping it's not, but he's got a bad feeling about it. So I think pensive.
I'm going to give you the condition expecting the worst. That is your complication. As for Dallas, in your conversation with Carl Hilliard, you got an 11. So you just get a straight clue asking about anything he's seen. Let's see here. And these are some good clues, by the way. I really like these clues you've written. They are really, they can apply to a lot of situations. I like that. He goes, oh, Carl says, well, I saw the fella park up a bunch of supplies, you know, walked up the trail deeper into the woods. Seems like one of those more serious campers. The kind of folks who just like to come up here and actually go off into the woods just by himself, you know. If I recall correctly, I think me and Grace were grilling up some dogs on our little camp barbecue, and he had been passing by and asked, you know,
Grace, your wife, girlfriend, or mistress?
She's my wife of 40 years, sir.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Continue.
As I was saying, I offered the man a sausage as he was passing by. He's, you know, seemed polite enough, said no thanks, but just waved and went off into the trail. It's really all we only saw of him. But I mean, it's funny that you mentioned, like, just, you know, anything I see or anything. You know, sometimes weird things happen out here. Did you know that?
I had no idea that strange things occurred on this mountain.
No, it's like...
You suggested this is my first rodeo, cowboy?
No, not at all, sir. I mean, given by your head, I'd expect you've been on many rodeos. But as I was saying is that... So it was me and Grace with the kids. Now, our grandkids are really into TikTok, you know, like the app. And they were... that, you know, they like watch a bunch of the like wilderness things and mm-hmm. Yeah, so well, it was like me and Grace were enjoying one of our canned margaritas as the sun was going down one night, and mm-hmm. We heard a scream, a loud shrill scream coming from the woods. And that panicked us, and we, you know, we couldn't see anything. But our kids, our grandkids, they said, well, actually, on TikTok, they found out that like that bobcat screams sound a lot like human screams. And so, I don't know. Hey, could have been a bobcat. So that is your clue: is the Hilliards heard a scream that was either a human or bobcat scream. By the way, if anyone should look up a video of a bobcat screaming, it's fucking terrifying.
How about nine, no?
Nine times out of ten on those like on TikTok when they do those like horror, like ooh, like shape changing monsters in the forest sounds of like, nine times out of ten, those are bobcat sounds.
Bobcats, yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of them up in North Alabama.
Yeah.
Where my parents live.
Yeah. So that is your clue. I'm gonna
Dallas is gonna look at Mr. Hilliard and go, "No, Mr. Hilliard, you've been very helpful. Thank you for assisting with this investigation. Can I interest in talking to you about an app that might be a better alternative for TikTok than for your children? It's called Gabble."
And we cut outside, yeah. Back at the Tacoma. Incredible. Roderick, uh-huh. I owe you a clue with a complication. So you were searching the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna let this one be a little strange. Ooh. While you are, you know, you're opening up the glove compartment, looking into the cup holders under the seat, just giving a thorough once over. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see anything that is indicative of a state of mind or stuff he left behind that would point wherever he may have gone. You don't see any maps. But as you're searching, you begin, it's like, at first it's like at the base of your skull, it's like this deep, almost inaudible buzzing sound you begin to just like lightly hear. And only you hear this. So your clue is going to be a deep, almost inaudible buzzing sound. And I'm going to give you the condition, the buzzing.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. Fabulous. How do you
react?
When I hear this, so I've kind of gone through all of these different like compartments and whatnot. And, I've had these, the latex gloves on, obviously, just in case, because once again, I'm assuming the worst, but, and as I'm like pulling back and taking them off, I hear this and I look back at Mike and I like kind of like swipe, like I think it's a mosquito, and I'm like trying to see if it's the car. I'm like odd, like visibly trying to like look around and figure out where this buzz, like maybe it's a cell phone that's like vibrating somewhere. I'm like, you hear that?
You're what?
Ah, nothing. Just thought I heard something rustling around in here. I don't know.
Wouldn't it make a louder noise? Might be just a mosquito.
That's what I had to ask. You never know. Writing down the buzzing.
The buzzing is your condition. Very good.
Fabulous.
Yes. Mike, what are you up to?
Well, as like there's like Roderick is like sort of like looking through like the sort of glove department and just like the thing and like not really finding much of anything, as far as I know. I think like I'm sort of like trying to like gauge myself in terms of like of the vehicle of like where is it pointing towards, like if I was like in in Paul's like shoes, what would I see first? And maybe like that's the sort of direction that he went in.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that. I'll just say like just points. I mean, the trailhead mm-hmm. is the only trail that goes deeper in the woods. So I mean, like you can see the wooden sign for Bennett's Ridge Trail, mm-hmm. which if you want, you would imagine that's where Paul was going down anyway. And if he were to break and deviate from that trail, it'd probably be deeper in the wilderness. So
yeah, so I'm going to go down the trail. I'm just going to say, yeah, there's probably not much to be found here. He probably took most of his stuff with him, so he probably got lost, or even maybe just the cell phone died.
I mean, that's a better sign than stuff being here, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you going to take the ATV, Mike?
Oh, that is a good question.
Get ahead of the group, do a little advance.
On it. A little recon.
Yeah. More recon. I shall read out the move.
Yeah, please do.
You always pull your dependable Trailmaster ATV on a trailer behind your truck. If you have access to it, once per session, you may either automatically scout ahead to a new location or retrieve a piece of gear from the rear cargo compartments. Either put in your personal items or give to another first responder for their personal items. And I'm going to use scout ahead to go to a new location.
Very good.
I think we're going to follow. I think most of us are going to follow. I think Mike's right. I think this is it. Let's just, we'll get on the trail and see if we can find him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will actually give you, I'll just go ahead and have this paint the scene for the Bennett's Ridge Trail that you'll get a bit of an advance on for everyone now. So you hop on your trusty ATV and go ahead and go do some advanced recon out there down the trail a bit more while Sergeant Hank and Dallas are wrapping up inside the office. You head down. Bennett's Ridge Trail is a bare earthen trail. Has a few footbridges over some swampy areas and gravel in areas that have eroded. The forest is pretty thick, but every once in a while opens up to reveal the Bear Spring Brook or the distant Pine Mountain to the north. No hikers from the campground appear to be on the trail today. Let's paint the scene. Despite not being used, the trail seems well used. What do you find that suggests it is pretty active?
The trail is clearly marked, like there is intentionally placed rocks on the edge of the trail so like people won't get lost or wander off it.
I think Mike, when he's peeling out, I think he sees like where people have left their like walking, where they found like a good walking stick, and when they get to the end of the trail they just leave it propped up. I think there's several of them there that Mike goes by.
I think, go ahead, Wes.
No, you go.
Oh, okay, because I don't, like, it's a weird thing that happens on hiking trails sometimes, but there's a sock in a tree. Like, somebody's, like, put a sock over a tree branch inexplicably, but it's clearly, like, on purpose.
This is a thing that if you go hiking often, you're kind of aware of. You become more aware of when you go hiking. This is a well-tread like trail. There's not a lot of like forest noise. You can hear the birds and everything, but there's like, because so many people like use this hiking trail, a lot of other animals will probably kind of give it a little bit of a wider berth unless there's food around. So not a lot of excess ambiance noise except for the occasional bird.
Mike, you, as you're driving your ATV down the trail, as I mentioned, you can see the creek. You can you see the distant mountain as well. But as you're kind of like making a bend in the forest, you see that there is a red fox that's just kind of like walked out into the trail a little bit ahead of you that is pawing at and looking intently at something on the ground, and kind of like it freezes up and like turns its head like mid stride and just kind of like looks at you as you, I assume, slow the ATV to a stop, mm-hmm, and just kind of like stands there tentatively looking at you.
Yeah, I'm watching it, seeing its behavior, seeing if it's like got something that it should not have, because I do not want to be chasing down a red fox to like take a bit of trash away from it.
You can see it was pawing at something on the ground, but it has not picked anything up. It is just nothing in its mouth or anything like that. Nothing on its person either.
Okay. I'm going to go scoot, and just like sort of like making myself look bigger than it till I get it to like run away and whatnot.
It takes a few like tentative like steps back on the first three things, and then just after another scoot, it does a little like and quickly just like runs out of sight. You can actually see that what it was looking at, someone left a pristine magazine just on the ground in the middle of the trail.
I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to give it a sniff.
It's pristine and smells of new magazine, you know, but you flip through it and it is a 1977 issue of a National Geographic opened up to a photo spread of the Amazon rainforest.
That is really weird. I've Like, I think I'm just gonna toss it onto the ATV like compartment, just like a little bag that's like attached there. And I think I'm gonna continue down the trail. It's gonna bother me because like, whoa, who would bring like this old ass magazine, especially this well quality one on a trail? Like, that's just dumb.
And you continue. All right, very good. Sergeant Hank and Dallas eventually leave the office and reconvene with Roderick in the parking lot. What are you all doing?
Well, how'd it go?
Not really. We didn't really get much, I don't think, but I'm starting to have a
Speak for
bad feeling.
yourself there, greasy,
I'm just starting to have a bad feeling
rescue
about
officer.
this.
Grease.
Yeah, we were doing greasy cop, squeaky wheel cop.
I thought it was good cop, bad cop, but all
Well,
right.
yeah, well, sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but sometimes the squeaky wheel puts people into action, and got a little bit of info from Mr. Hilliard inside. Nothing too untoward, though.
Possibly a broken phone that might belong to Mr. Foster, but
Okay.
we should probably head to that spot that Mike was telling us about that's close to a creek.
Didn't he already take off in the
Oh
ATV? Yeah,
yeah.
Mike's
Yeah, he
part of
does
our
that.
advanced party.
Man, he always does the burnout, and I missed the burnout this time. It's whatever.
There'll be another. Don't worry, Dallas.
Just wanna let y'all know. I know it's kind of like it's just like a lost camper. We'll probably find him no problem. But if you need me to pull out my bag of tricks for anything, I totally can, whatever you need. Advanced drone gets infrared thermal imagery. Maybe you need a little bit of some real-time satellite images. I can just talk to the boys over in the GPS division over at Bart Moss Data Solutions. I got my go bag, or I can call up the Wilderness Boys.
The who?
We're probably good on this one, Dallas. Just to walk up the trail here and see
Yeah.
if we can find if Mr. Foster's okay. I think Mike's got a pretty good idea where his camp is.
And God, hey, God's own flashlight. I got thermal imaging right in these bad boys. I got you, okay? No problem.
All right. Roderick actually like pats Dallas's shoulder, almost like placating. It could be mistaken as like a buddy pat, but like it's
Looks
more of a
over
let's go.
towards looks over towards the wildly new Ford Bronco Sport Edition that's just loaded with a bunch of boxes and gear on it and goes, someday. Grabs one of those walking sticks.
They used to not let people take ATVs on these trails. There was regulations against it because they did so much damage, but now they seem to be thanks to a lot of your contributions, Dallas, these trails have been fortified and they're in pretty good shape.
Kind of reminds me of that time I was down in Nicaragua. I had to tell y'all about that one time. It was life-changing energy. Actually was a local kind of like Mike, really. That just reminded me, just real lone wolf, El Lobos kind of, type of beat.
Sounds
I love the idea that
sounds
this
riveting.
conversation is just happening as you guys are walking down
Yeah.
the trail.
Yes. I'm
Yeah.
glad. Oh man. Mike Dallas. Oh no, this is gonna be.
This is gonna be good. As the three of you are kind of walking down the trail, there's a moment where kind of clouds passing briefly over the sun just darkens the whole forest. Reducing visibility just for a few minutes, kind of adding this gloom that then begins to slowly peel back away. Hank, I'd say that you're pretty well in tune to your surroundings. You can kind of hear movement in the underbrush and some other side chatter. Glancing kind of like through the trees, you guys can make out two distinct blaze orange Forest Service hiking vests, that the reflective hazard ones. And there seem to be these two other NFS people moving around the trees. They have a couple packs on and are carrying rolls of bright yellow flagging tape, which makes you assume that these are foresters, people who are checking the trees, probably this time of year for like beetle borers. You've probably had a few interactions. I'm not sure if you know these two specifically, but I think you're familiar enough with this kind of work that you'd be able to see there's other NFS officials out here today, off trail doing some other work. You're muted.
Roddy, do you want to keep going up the trail here and see if we can find that campsite while I go talk to these guys to see if they heard anything? Or
yeah, I think it's a good idea. They might have seen something. Dallas, you come with me. Keep your eye on the trail. See if there's anything.
Sure, you don't want me to put the moves on any more campers? I mean, not like that. I mean, like in a totally like consensual like workplace, safe.
No, these are federal park or Forest Service employees, and I'll just see if they've heard anything. Maybe they can help. Maybe they can, if we need to. Maybe in a pinch, we can recruit them to help us see if we can find Paul or Mr. Foster. But yeah, I'll catch back up. If you find this camp, just let me know.
Alrighty,
Roger that. Something.
All right, come on,
Sarge. Federales, huh? Wow, really takes me back in Nicaragua. You know, some of the wilderness boys used to be federales. It's wild.
You're really gonna have to tell me who these wilderness boys are at some point.
Gonna meet them, okay, Rowdy? Okay,
it sounds like that sounds a little bit like a threat, but I'm into it.
There's Chris, Carlos, Christian, Chris, Matt, Stuart, Matt, Josue.
Are you sure that's how you say that?
Starts listing off. I like 20 different dudes' names.
15 of them are Matt.
Yeah. Come on.
Roger just nods. He's like, all right. After about the third one, he just starts nodding.
But we all go by our first names. We all have code names.
Well, that many Matts, you gotta.
Gotta.
The ATV trail that Mike left behind is you know, it's easy enough to like know roughly like where to go. There's a part of Bennett's Ridge Trail that crosses over a not so used old gravel road. This part of it, Mike would have just probably just gone right over and just continued on the trail, but that you two are crossing this. This old gravel road was once used as a logging road and winds its way up towards Pine Mountain. Tall grass, weeds, and even small trees are growing up between the chunky gravel. Let's paint the scene. Within sight, there is unexpectedly a staircase. It looks like it's from a new house with white carpet in the middle of the road. What else is odd about the stairs?
Oh, man.
The carpet is all clean. There's no like leaves or detritus or it's like brand new clean carpet.
If you go up it seems like there's like 12 steps, you know, or like, you know, like around like, you know, 12 or 13 like steps that kind of lead up it or something like that. But when you come back down, there seems to be more steps. It's weird. It's almost like, you know, one of those I Spy books or something.
Imagine like these steps are going alongside this wall, like this stone, like bricks and whatnot. It's very, very old, but I imagine like there you can see if you're looking closely enough that there's a bunch of like handprints on each and every brick.
I think that when you look like at the bottom of the stairs where there would normally be support beams, There's none, but they don't seem loose. The stairs seem sturdy, but there's nothing really supporting them except that a seeming attachment to that brick wall.
Roderick, how long have you been working with NFS at this point, do you think?
Probably not very long, honestly. I feel like I just started maybe max a year ago, 6 months probably.
Okay, so here's what I'll tell you, because that is long enough, I think. You know, I'd say more probably have maybe one or two experiences, but mostly this is a thing that is common knowledge to the NFS. Random stairs of all sizes and types can be found in the White Mountain National Forest. And yeah, everyone, I mean, they're there. Everyone knows about them. And everyone also casually notes, but you should stay away from them. So you are at least familiar with the concept of the stairs. Dallas, this is your first time experiencing this.
Oh no.
Let's cut back over to Mike Hester's for a moment. Mike, you've pulled off the trail on your ATV and are along the Bear Spring Brook, the small stream that flows into the Peabody River a couple miles away down the valley. It's a small stream, but moves pretty swiftly, easily crossed on foot by stepping on like large smooth rocks that have just been exposed by erosion, but the ATV also can go kind of smoothly through it. Let's paint the scene about the brook. Typically, mountain streams make bubbling, gurgling sounds as they find their path down the hillsides. What strange sounds do you hear along this quickly flowing stream?
I'm going to only describe it as slopping noises.
There's some like branches and weeds and stuff that are in the water. And as the water rushes through, it makes like this whispering sound that every once in a while you're like, I think I heard a word. I think it said Tuesday. I think I heard a whisper like Tuesday or something.
There's a bit of rocks, you know, as you know, streams, rivers, they flow downhill, everything like that. Gravity. Don't have to explain that one to you. But there's like these little pockets where like there's rocks and everything like that, and it makes a nice little plop sound as like the water falls into it, so you just hear the occasional plop kind of sound a little bit. Kind of nice.
I love it. I think there's also like this whistling that could be maybe misattributed to water or wind, but it sounds musical.
So Mike, what are you doing? You've got pretty far out here. You've advanced pretty far ahead of the group out in the more of the wilderness.
Yeah, I'm going to get off my ATV, start like taking a look around, seeing if like if there's any ground that's been disturbed, and just making a very methodical search.
Yeah, the search move plus reason.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. It does not want to come off the ground. It's going to stay there for now.
Okay.
Oh, that's pretty good. That is a 9 on the dice, and I don't think I have a plus anything on my reason.
All right. Clue with complication. Give me a moment to look here at my list of clues. You see a stack of rocks up along the banks of the stream that have been, it's like a small cairn, like an actual like circle, like a dome constructing of not just a pile, just an actual like cairn of small river stones that have been piled up along the banks of the stream. As for your complication, let me think here. As for your complication, you also spot, this is not a clue, this is just a thing, and I'm that's segueing into it, that there are just a couple of raw chicken legs, like, you know, you get from like the grocery store, just like from a package of like drumsticks. They're just laying on like spots, like every so often here and there. And as you go over to investigate one, a fox trap snaps around your ankle.
Oh, no.
Now, luckily, because this was a 9, I'm not going to have it be too hard as to like it breaks your ankle, but it caught you at a weird angle. So I'm going to give you broken toe as a condition, as it like it clamps hard around your boot as this hidden fox trap snaps shut as you're moving around the space. And luckily, the density of your soles and that you weren't quite in the center of the trap saves you from a much worse energy. But you feel just a pop of a toe bone and a sudden jolt of pain that shoots up through your leg and foot.
Put me out of my misery.
My God. At first, I was going to get mad about the Cairns. Now I'm pissed about like this. Like, you're not supposed to put traps out this area. This is a state park. You're like, come on. You don't go hunting here. Not this close with families and all.
So that's that, unless you want to put on a crown or take it.
Oh, I'm going to take it because this is interesting. And I'm just like prying out like my foot from the trap and whatnot. And I think I take it like a stick and I'm just like whacking around the area trying to find more of these, because if there's one, there's more than. God damn it.
Yeah, you're whacking against like stones and like and clearly you're pissed off. Did you like scream out when you felt your toe break, or was it more of like a subdued sound?
I think if people were here, they would have heard like a muffled like yell, because like gritting my teeth and whatnot. I'm not going to do that on a video, because that'd be weird. But it's like, it's noisy, but it's not full on yell.
Mm-hmm. I think as you're like smashing like things and just kind of like angrily taking it out against the traps that have been laid in this area, someone like comes like running out of the nearby woods. This guy, late 30s, he's wearing like a mix mash of like camo and like a Vietnam era boonie hat. He has a belt with an ammo box attached to it. No firearms or weapons visible on him though. And he kind of like comes running out like he's like, it's like, and he suddenly kind of like stops and kind of like goes like wide eyed and like looks around with this kind of suspicious look of like, oh, and goes, everything okay? I heard some sounds. I was in the area. Are you hurt, sir? Sees that your arrangement is very clearly a little suspicious.
I'm all right. I do have some questions for you about this area. How long have you been here?
I live around here. It's like my extended backyard, you know?
A few miles off that the main road is there and some houses are in there.
Yeah.
I mean specifically around here.
I like to go for forest walks. He kind of like looks at his camo and goes, I like to blend in with the forest, you know, so, you know, I can see the animals before they see me. Mm. And so I don't scare them. Birds and critters, you know? It was walking around and I heard an awful, like an awful racket. I thought I'd come check it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. How much of this is just bullshit? Because this guy just seems so suspicious.
I will say, I kind of wanted to have this be the risky move just conversationally.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's very clearly suspicious and you are very clearly digging. What are you afraid of happening here?
Honestly, I think with the distraction from talking to this guy, I'm going to step into another trap.
I'll say that it can be a risky move plus composure. I won't have the broken toe effect this.
Okay, that's all right. That's an 8.
An 8. Very good. We'll come back to that. Sergeant Hank. You are off the trail approaching those two other NFS foresters. One's a man, one's a woman. The man is thin and in his 30s. The woman is short and in her 40s. They're both wearing civilian hiking clothes and blaze orange Forest Service vests. And they are tagging trees, kind of having some like side conversations they're walking through when they kind of hear you approach, and they just like give you like a hand raise from afar just to signal you, and then kind of continue about their business, but you know, not moving away from you, just you know, you can easily approach. Yeah, what do you do?
Give them a wave and a hello, and I tell them, hey, I'm with search and rescue, and we've got this a Barnes Field campground. We've got a camper that may be missing. What are you guys tagging?
They introduce themselves. They exchange instructions with you. Larry Shaw, Charlotte Marcus. Larry says, "Oh, been flagging trees for beetle borers. You know, time of year. Yeah, it's not anything too bad, but." Better than last season, but not significantly improved.
I was doing the same thing like 20 years ago, and back then it was a lot easier because all we had to do is stick to the main roads, right? We didn't have to come all the way up in here like you guys are, but I guess the beetles don't stick to the road now that I think about it. Neither does this camper, Paul Foster. Have you seen him or heard of camp? I don't know what kind of tent he has, but he's probably in this area.
Charlotte and Larry kind of like look at each other, and Charlotte says, "Oh, we've not seen anyone up here all day. Do you need us to call anything in over the radio? We brought a boosted signal, and we can call it in if you need something."
Well, if we find, yeah, you know, I might hold you to that later. If we can't find Mr. Foster, or you know, worst case scenario, we need like a life light or something like that. But have you noticed anything out of the ordinary as you guys have been working in this area? Anything strange or out of place? Or
I'm going to say that you can do a search with, for you, I think this will be composure, because this is very business as usual, very like within your bailiwick as a Forest Service professional. And I believe you get a plus, your composure is even higher because of your move, right? Is that how that works?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that gives me a solid 11. Yeah.
9 plus 11. Two, yeah, 11. Very nice. Very nice. Unless you want to put on a crown to turn that into a mountain clue as well, we will roll with the regular clue.
I don't think I do not want a mountain clue right now. Thank you very much.
Very good. Very good. Let me look at my clue list here. 11. Yeah, okay. Actually, Larry says, "Well, now that you mention it, we've been marking trees most of the morning, and we were out here yesterday as well. We tagged a tree, but someone had tied a leather belt around the trunk. The oddest thing we saw, yeah, it was just someone's belt just tied around the trunk of a tree. We tagged it for beetle borers, and we were thinking about just coming back to take off the belt. We would be on our kind of path today. We can take you over there if you want to take a look at it."
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, because we saw some socks when we were coming in. The people put the weirdest thing in trees.
It's just, yeah. Hey, at least I'm not putting things up on the stairs.
Well, you must be new, because there's a memo that came out. I don't know. It must have been like 6 weeks ago. We're not supposed to really talk about the stairs.
Yeah. Larry says, "Charlotte, I told you we're not supposed to talk about the stairs."
Yeah.
Let's cut over to Roderick and Dallas, who are currently looking at the stairs.
Why doesn't anybody talk about the stairs?
Okay. Well, we're going to have to roll back. Have you been told anything about the stairs at all?
Well, I know y'all like to play that fun little game, which is don't tell Dallas anything back in the office, and just kind of see what they figure out and everything like that. But I get the memos, you know. Y'all are on a Bart Moss web service server, like your whole, like I kind of set up your whole thing. So I do get the in-office memos and everything like that. But I did see one that was like, don't talk about the stairs. And I'm like, huh, that's weird and fun. Like,
Okay, well, one, we're not trying to not tell you anything. That's
okay.
Don't worry. We're not.
Oh,
I mean,
no. I wasn't like sneaking in on you and like trying to see like things that you're like doing and everything like that. Like, I'm not your boss or anything. I'm just a very wealthy donor that is making sure that you're well taken care of or anything like that. That's it.
Oh, no. And we appreciate you. And that's why I asked you about the whole. What you know about this. We don't talk about them. This is a safety issue. This is a basic safety issue.
Oh, okay. That's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, it's not a fun party game. I'm sorry. I wish it was.
No. That's even better. Like,
is it? Okay.
Oh, we lost Wes. Oh, no.
Oh, no. We lost Wes right in the middle.
He went up the stairs.
He's just thinking. Well, he's just thinking.
I know.
Yeah, you're here.
There you are. Okay. You just were thinking for a long time.
You were thinking too much about the stairs.
Hey. Thinking too much about the stairs.
Don't think about the stairs,
don't
man.
Think about the stairs.
It's the bye-bye man rules.
Exactly. Bye-bye man. No, but like, it just kind of, you know. It's not a fun joke or anything like that. Kind of taking it seriously. It really reminds me of, you know, my volunteer work down in Nicaragua, which is one of many places I've worked down. But like, yeah, like
stairs. Well, hold on. Did you see this kind of thing in Nicaragua? I've only heard about this in the.
Oh, no. It was just typically there was like a man that would follow us around and would be like, don't laugh at things, kind of take them seriously and everything like that. And that kind of like keeps you safe and everything like that. And that just kind of like, you know, reminds me of like what I love about volunteering so much is just like, you know, like you take it seriously. Like you have those moments where it's like super fun and everything like that. But it's like moments like right now where it's like super serious.
I'm so glad we're on the same page. So you know not to like climb them or anything, right? You know not to like touch them.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to look around and not think about them and see if I see anything about Paul, you know.
Okay, yeah, just do not touch them.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stress that enough.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, we're good.
Crystal.
Fabulous. And I will keep an eye on them the entire time.
You can see, it's like in the forefront, if you could see the fucking thought playing on their brain, it is everything but the stairs. It is just like, it's just been magic erasered out.
Oh my, absolutely fabulous. A joy. I am thrilled because the last thing I want to do is lose a wealthy volunteer in the woods. When I'm the only one with them, or God knows, I probably haven't been told what the stairs do. I just assume it's probably bad.
Absolutely. I'm going to look around the stairs. I'm going to look around the stairs. I'm going to dig in some underbrush. I know that things tend to get lost in the underbrush by, like, especially shiny things. If, like, small woodland creatures see it, they try to, like, bury it in the underbrush. So, yeah, you know.
You can give me a search move plus reason.
Hell yeah. Okay, plus reason. I am a reasonable person. At zero. That's a five.
It's five.
Yeah.
You want to touch the stairs, Dallas?
I've been thinking about what my therapist taught me, which was, you know, I need to be more proactive in my life. I just kind of like take things as they come. I have people do things for me all the time. And what I really, really want to do, it's all about getting my hands dirty, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking touch the stairs. You know what? I bet all of these jokers, these class clowns, these pranksters, best friends, really, if you think about it. I think they all touch the stairs. So might as well touch the stairs, you know?
I mean, you're right there and like you're searching around it and like they're just, they look like they were copy and pasted from just a house. And it's like, you just want to touch the stairs,
it's
man.
Wild. I know, right? Just got to touch the stairs like real quick.
Let's make the dangerous move.
I want to take it one step further and say that, like, Dallas has pulled out their phone too, about to take like a selfie. Like,
oh my god!
What are you afraid of happening here, Dallas?
I'm afraid that the stairs are gonna make me forget, like they've been forgotten.
Oh, it's worse than that. Thank you, Daniel, for writing a list of stair-based complications on this rescue sheet so I can think about this. You will forget, but you will also hear the voices of the forgotten begging for help.
Shit, what am I wrong with?
This is going to be plus sensitivity, I'd say, honestly speaking.
Okay. All right. Sensitivity. You sure about that, Jack? Okay.
I'm sure about that.
It's spooky.
It's very spooky.
So I got a zero.
Yeah.
Sensitivity.
Yeah.
And I rolled a two.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
And then I rolled a two. So four.
Oh my god.
So you touch the stairs. Roderick watches you just place a hand against the white painted wood of the stairs, and there's just nothing. Nothing happens. You touch stairs. But then you realize you don't hear anything. All sound has cut out. And it's like in like Twin Peaks season 3 when like that like glitching the glitch flickering effect when Agent Cooper leaves the black and white place in the very first episode. Again, the Fireman's Lodge. Yeah, just like flickers out of existence almost. That just happens in Rod's visual as Rod forgets entirely about Dallas's existence on the team. Oh. And Dallas Bartmoss disappears and is forgotten forever.
Hey, slut, you mind if I put on a crown?
Absolutely. Go ahead and mark. Go ahead and mark a crown. Let's take a quick break. So you marked a crown. Which crown did you pick, Dallas?
The shadows grow deep. So hereafter, during a vulnerable move that you initiate or participate in, you must also narrate how something eerie and otherworldly subtly reveals itself in the scene.
Very fun. We'll look forward to that. Instead, it'll bump up your roll from a miss to a, well, it's still the dangerous move on a 7-9. Let's read that move here. You do it, but there's a complication or a cost. I'll tell you what happens. When you touch the stairs, there is that same realization of silence, that all-encompassing quiet that just dims around you. And the soft rustling of the wind through the trees, you realize it's not wind, Dallas, but hundreds of whispering, desperate voices that begin to grow louder and louder, that you hear echoing through your head as your hands are touching the stairs. You hear them begging as if under duress, like, help me, you gotta help me, please, where's my family, where am I, what's happening, I can't remember where I am. Just this shouting tempest that comes to assail your senses. The second your hand is removed from the stairs, just normal nature sounds resume. But I'm going to give you the condition, the voices. Let's go check in with Mike real quick. Because you rolled a 7-9 on your risky move, speaking with this suspicious gentleman. And I had your complication in mind. He's going to say, oh, shit. I think I got some extra splints. I'm camping nearby. Do you want one? Here, I'll grab some stuff. And he goes like bolting off into the woods, not running away from you, but like getting real ahead of himself. So you kind of have to follow him. Mm-hmm. And so you don't lose sight of him. And he goes, yeah, like I said, I mean, I think this place of kind of like a second backyard. And I come out here and like to find spots every so often. And, you know, I have my, my permit for camping out here. So no need for that. He like points at your uniform. It's like, no need mm-hmm. to worry about that. You know, I try to keep everything off the forest floor, leave it better than you found it and all that. And as he's walking, he's telling you about how he's like actually got like a good spot for like camping, like up in the boughs of some of the trees safely, like not, you know, nothing that's going to disturb the actual local wildlife. But he says it's a hell of a good coincidence that, he found the spot when he did, because, as he kind of like comes through the trees, you can see that there is a nice, like dense, canopy of the trees in this part here. But you see that there is a very disconcerting part of the camp he is using. And that is a rusted iron spiral staircase that just
up
into the boughs of the tree as he's already going. He's already like going up it, being like, yeah, lucky we're here. Gets to a real nice spot up there. Here, I got some stuff up for you. And that's your complication. And this man is going up these stairs into the trees.
Why did you do this? Sir, please come back down. That the stairs are clearly not safe. They're not being maintained at all. Rather, oh no. And I think like at some point, but like just this guy ignoring me just keeps on going about his camp, I'm just gonna follow him up the stairs very gingerly and carefully.
Okay, it's going to be a dangerous move from you as well, Mike, for going up the stairs. What are you afraid of happening here?
I think, like, the stairs are going to collapse.
Oh, it's worse than that. They're not going to collapse. You are.
Oh, no! Sensitivity?
I'm thinking I'm going to give you... So there's sensitivity or composure, because you said you were going up very gingerly. Mm-hmm. I think I'll say composure in this case. However, the broken toe fucking hurts. So that's a disadvantage on your roll.
Okay. Let's see if I do my head. Anything in my... Absolutely
if only,
not.
If only you had some $2,400 hiking boots.
I you're not wrong. I'm just gonna roll disadvantage, unfortunately.
All right.
So, that's a 5.
So here's what happens. Your that first foot touches the base of the stairs, and it's like that sinking in your stomach, but nothing happens. It takes your weight. It's a little creaky, but all things considered, it's not anything more than what you'd expect. And you've heard about the stairs. Everyone knows about the stairs. You don't go up the stairs. And here you are going up the stairs. And you're about halfway up when your ears pop. You feel like there's like a sudden pressure change. And you think, that's weird. And then your head snaps back. And you kind of like blink a few times. And you realize that you're having trouble swallowing. Like your mouth feels dry. And your vision's blurry. And you feel like your sinuses are draining. Like you feel like you have a cold all of a sudden. And you kind of like take a step back as if to stumble and be like, ooh, I feel woozy all of a sudden. And then we watch as Mike just collapses down the stairs, rolling to the bottom and just hitting the base of them, where we see every blood vessel in his head has ruptured, eyes hemorrhaging, blood streaming out of his nose, out of his ears. And Mike just kind of is blinking as one eye is not moving. The other one's kind of like moving around confused and sluggishly as he just mumbles the words, "I don't feel so good."
So I'm going to put on a crown.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on a crown at the forest.
Okay. Which one?
Narrate the reason why you keep coming back despite the strange things you've been seeing.
Would you like to narrate that now or wait a little bit?
I think wait a little bit sure. Because it's a little bit on the sad side.
Okay. So, bumping up your result, here's what happens instead. You are ascending the stairs. And you get to the halfway point. Nothing's happening. You get up to the top of the stairs. Where's the man? Hank. Charlotte and Larry have taken you a little bit further into the woods. They show you that the tree they were telling you about, the one that someone had like wrapped a belt around. And they take you to the spot and they're just saying, here it is.
I'm looking around to see if this is anywhere close to where Mike thought the camp might be.
Yeah, you've got a knowledge of the forests. I'd say that's a search plus your reason. And you're expecting the worst, though, so I'll give you disadvantage on this.
The reason is 2. Let me check out my gear. I could take the pocket knife, but I don't know how that's going to help me with the search. Unless I'm cutting off the belt. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to just do it with a disadvantage. I can't think of a way to do it. But I got a +2, so. 4, a 5, and a 3. And I got to take the 4 and a 3. That gives me a 7, 8, 9.
9, not bad. I owe you a clue with a complication. Yeah, you're looking around and you're, you know, trying to, you know, use your knowledge of the area and also like what Mike's assessment of where he most likely was camping. You're thinking like, you know, okay, probably you're at least within a few miles radius of that spot. I mean, the stream's not too far. It's a few miles off trail. It's a wide area, but I mean, it's a good enough area for camping. You stop and you just look at this spot, which is, you swear, but maybe you're just getting too old, but you swear that you feel like this is the spot Mike was talking about. But there's nothing here. There's no camps. There's no signs of that. The only thing here is a rusted ship's anchor, as if a tornado miraculously flung it into the forest. That is your clue. I'm thinking your complication. I think your complication will just be another condition. I'm gonna give you too old for this.
Are they still with me? The other Marcus and Shaw, are they still with me?
Yeah, they're still with you. They weren't like looking around with you. They kind of like took you to the spot and are just kind of like hanging around the area, doing a double check on the trees for flagging. So they are not seeing the anchor. They're like, you know, so a little bit away, but you have eyes on them still.
When I'm walking back to him, I pointed my shoulder at the anchor and I said, a few years ago, we found this 1976 Dodge Aspen station wagon, and there was no way it could have driven. Have you guys seen stuff like that? There's no way they could have driven it into the woods, and it was just there. It had like coffee in a cup holder. It was weird.
Larry just kind of like glances around the trees and goes, huh? And then like goes, I haven't seen anything weird myself, but I mean, I've heard. Yeah, no, that's weird. I agree. Yeah. And Charlotte says, I mean, I think the weirdest thing I saw was about 8 years back. I think that was, oh gosh. It was like, what do they call those? The, they're not quite RVs, but they're like the other type of trailers. You know what I'm talking about? Like the smaller
ones?
Like
Yeah.
Like one of those. Airstreams. Yeah, it was like one of those Airstreams, and it was up on top of a rock, like a big boulder, kind of like just like teetering like a little seesaw.
Strangest people do thing the weirdest things. Like, why would they do that?
I want to know how they got it up there.
Yeah, they just do the weirdest things. Some of this stuff, I think, is like art, some kind of like art installations, and they take pictures of it, and then they just leave. I don't know.
Like Larry says, actually, there are some, I've heard some college kids, one of those liberal arts schools nearby, they've sometimes been caught coming in here with I don't know, what's the word, avant-garde kind of installments that it's just never good.
Hey,
never.
It's Dartmouth. What are you gonna, you know?
What else are you gonna do in Dartmouth other than go to liberal arts college, I guess? Well, anything else we can help you with, Sergeant? Or you got it from here? Need anything?
No, we may have to. We may have to expand the search.
Okay. And
I wouldn't want to get you guys. You guys have your work with the Beatles, which is probably, you know, on the grand scheme of things, you know, more important than trying to track this kid down. Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Again, if you need any call-ins, just let us know. We got the signal booster. All right. Well, best of luck finding this camper. We'll holler if we find anything.
Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. And they go back on their own separate ways. Where are you going now, Sergeant?
Back to the trail where I last saw Dallas and Roddy.
So, speaking of Dallas and Roddy, what's going on there?
Oh my God. I mean, as soon as Dallas is not, I guess, in some sort of otherworldly plane. they hear me just go, Dallas, what the ever-loving fuck? I just told you not to touch them.
That was truly, that was something that just absolutely enticed me. Are you kidding me? Like, that is so wild. They all are next level prank heroes, okay? The touch activated voices and everything like that. That is just so wild. Oh my God. Okay. This kind
of get your ass back up here right now.
Oh no. I can just tell you so like, you're familiar with Manchester, right? You know, in New Hampshire and everything like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you familiar with like the underground nightclub scene in Manchester? People think, oh, Manchester, New Hampshire, there's nothing interesting there. But like, there is a very extensive, if you've got the right wallet, you know, then you have a very extensive kink club. And it just reminded me of something that I experienced one time where they sat me in a room completely naked and just had people yell at me. And it was the most visceral experience I've ever had in my life. That was wild. Like, I felt every single voice I've ever heard in my life screaming at me all at once to not forget them and to help them get them out and everything like that. How did you do that? Is it like electro, like looking at the stairs and everything, not touching it again, being like, oh, I'm gonna touch it. But like, is it like, is it just like, are you using just like, pressure pads or something like that to kind of like fire that off? That's so wild.
Dallas, I'm gonna need you to get up here right now and just get away from the fucking stairs.
Okay, yeah, please. Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much.
You find anything?
No, I was busy watching you do the dump. Did you know people lose their arms doing shit like that? You ever seen someone lose an arm? No. Have you?
No comment.
Well, then you should know better. Don't be touching shit you don't know what is.
I think that, never mind. You know what? You're right.
No, what do you think? No, please. Elucidate.
No. You are the military veteran, and you are also the medic. And thank you for your service, by the way. Also, I'm just going to listen to you because you've got way more expertise than me. And I'm just, you know, like a passive observer. I'm a volunteer, right? So, yeah, I'll just be voluntold, you know, what to do, and I will do it.
I just don't want you to die out here. That would be bad for everyone, mostly you.
Come on, Roddy. You're not going to let me die out here, right?
I don't. Listen, I can only protect from dumbassery so much. I'll do my best.
Did you hear anybody, by the way, like give like a yelp, like a yow?
No.
It kind of sounded like my foot.
You know what? Maybe trees. It might have been. I was like, I was kind of distracted, but I thought it might have been a bird. I don't know. You might be right, though.
I promise I won't touch the steps anymore.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Just gave one good look at them one last time. And then just like, I'll be seeing you later, Mr. Man.
Roderick got another gray hair.
You two walk. I think getting back on track on the trail, at some point you will see that there is a stretch visible off trail towards the stream where there's just an ATV sitting by the stream and no visible Mike Hestons or Hesters.
Oh no. So I just Mike, hey.
Yeah. Hey. You think that he'd let me ride it?
Once he's back, maybe. Yes, I would say.
Oh, yeah, no, of course, with, like, a proper helmet on and everything. Well, just, like, holding on.
He's a little possessive about the ATV.
Oh, hey, I get it, you know? I get it. Been there before.
Yeah, where do you think he went?
You want me to try something here real quick?
I mean, sure.
And you're going to see Dallas, like, form some kind of, like,
oh weird my God.
Gesture and then do a, just like a bird call, just a bird whistle and just do the.
I love the idea of making this a search move.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Amazing. Amazing.
I'm here for this. Yes. Honestly, let's do it plus presence. Why not? No disadvantage. Make the roll.
Perfect. Plus presence.
Plus presence.
God, you fucked up today. I'm kidding. Hell yeah. Yo. What's up, brother? Sorry, that's a 5 and a 6 plus 2. That is a 13.
I was hoping you'd roll a 12 higher, because that means I can give you your first mountain clue.
Absolutely. Clue.
Oh my God.
And then something happens for me as well.
Oh, well, it might be. You have to document it first. You have to get it. You have to have evidence of it before you get that thing. Let me take a look at my clues and mountain clues.
Oh my God. Roderick does tell you that was very impressive. He didn't know what you were going to pull out, but all right, that was a good one. Was that a specific bird?
For your regular clue, when you do this bird call, a flock of birds suddenly burst out of a small tree on a ridgeline visible that just flutter and take to the sky. That's your regular clue. As for the mountain clue, There's so many good ones, but I'm going to do this one.
None of them are good.
Yeah, none of them are good, but boy, are they good.
Good is debatable.
You see this. I guess by extension, Rod's also going to see this. A deer stumbles out of the forest ahead and appears to be sick or deformed in that its leg joints are off, giving it an odd gait, shambling out of the woods. When it sees you, it lowers its head, emits a low hiss, and just turns into the woods.
Okay, Roddy, did you see that?
Yeah, I just, was that a deer?
That's a fucked up kind of deer.
That was a fucked up kind of deer. I didn't think they made that noise.
You want to see what else is going on with that fucked up kind of deer?
No, I do not.
Oh, come on. Where's your sense of adventure?
I'm going to say that this is... I was going to say that
this is... I'll tell you what kind of bird that was.
Go ahead.
All right, fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, going after the weird deer.
Phone out like a Karen at a public park.
Mike. At the top of the stairs and the branches of the trees, surrounded by green leaves and brown boughs and a scattered, simple camp that's been nestled up in the tree branches. But no sign of the man who went up here. What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to grab this stuff just in case the guy, what I saw was a memory of the guy that was up here.
Mm-hmm.
And that he shouldn't come up here again, at least to try to attempt that and then go back down the stairs, because I think it's just high enough. If I were to jump, I would seriously injure myself.
A 20-foot fall with a broken toe is probably prone to disaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very good. I'm going to say...
Another dangerous move?
Well, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Because it's truly any time you're messing with the stairs.
Goddamn stairs.
What are you afraid of happening now, Mike?
I think it's not just the stairs, but the landing as well. I'm going to disappear as well. There was a camper up here.
It's worse than that. You're going to find his, well, what's left of him.
Oh, no.
In this case, it will once again be composure. Well, I'm going to say that it's probably easier to descend a spiral staircase with a broken toe than it is to ascend it, because you can primarily lean on your heel more on the way down. So I'm not going to give you disadvantage on this one. I think going down these stairs with your broken toe is a lot easier. It's the same number in whatever the case, so just roll plus one. Because mm-hmm. I could see it being composure, vitality, or sensitivity, but it's all the same. Plus one.
Yeah. I'm just very hardy.
Yeah. See what happens.
Okay, that's good enough to get down the stairs. It's a 9.
It's a 9. On the dangerous move. How mean do I be?
All I need to do is to get down the stairs.
No, I know. That's all you need to do. And you're going to get down the stairs. That part's not in question. You get down the stairs. But it's more about the thing that doesn't get down the stairs.
Oh, no.
Because when you get down to the bottom, you realize you're missing something. Where's your coffee thermos?
Oh, God. Fuck. I'm going to put on another crown.
Over the coffee thermos? Okay. Love it.
Yeah.
They're one of your own, or the mystery one, or the rescue one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what is the mystery one?
It's the Crown of Loneliness.
Yeah, I think it's pretty thematic at this point to put on the Crown of Loneliness, since I'm by myself and very sad about it.
Very good. Mark the Crown of Loneliness. Each first responder narrates a flashback to when they truly felt alone and whether or not this was a positive or negative experience. We'll narrate that one next time. As Mike is coming back down, though, I'm about ready to go to Stars and Wishes, but let's first hear your crown if you'd like to give it now, Mike.
Of course. I will read it. Narrate the reason why you keep coming back despite the strange things you've been seeing. I think as Dallas and Roderick are chasing after this very weird-looking deer, I think we sort of cut image for image again with this deer running through the woods, this time with this mouth agape, snarling, biting, chasing after Mike and another person. We do not recognize them. It seems like they're just a random camper. Mike, very hardy, very athletic, is faster. And whenever you're chased by a large beast, you don't have to be super fast. You just have to be faster than the slowest person. And this deer, it pounces, it crawls, it limbers, and bites down onto this camper. But Mike doesn't stop. He can't. He's so afraid. And I think that is his greatest regret in life. That he didn't stop. And that is why he stays.
Very good. Let's do end of session questions and then go to Stars and Wishes, starting in character keeper order with Roderick Lops. Did the first runner resolve rescue? No. Did you admit your wilderness skills are lacking due to a mistake? No. Did you share a medical horror story?
I'm not sure if telling Dallas about a severed arm counts or not.
I'll give it to you.
Okay. All right.
You get a point of experience. Okay. And none of us have experienced echoes in time yet. That'll come later.
I don't even know what that is.
It'll come later. That's what it is. All right. For Mike, did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
I was by myself for a majority of it, so I couldn't impress anyone. I don't
know. People kind of people talked about like how you were like, yeah, he always does the burnout on the ATV. Like, I missed the burnout this time. They talked about you being good with the ATV. So,
okay.
Yeah, you get that one.
I will take it.
Did you share your insight about White Mountain National Forest?
Kind of with the camper by telling him like, oh yeah, I know like where approximately where you live and whatnot, and like I know like how easy it is to come out here into the woods and whatnot, but it, like you can't be laying down traps, or at least heavily implying that and being passive aggressive.
There you go. Love that. Sergeant Hank McBride, did you deliver a cold-eyed monologue about your hatred for bureaucracy? Not today.
It's coming.
Did you remind the others that the good old days were better?
Yes, you did. A couple times, yeah.
Yes, you did. Yeah. And Dallas, did you explain yet again why you love volunteering?
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Just
hammered it home, really, you know? Mm-hmm.
And did you flaunt your wealth?
A couple of times when I talked about my Ford Bronco and my toys, and then also about going to an exclusive underground kink club in New Hampshire and getting the platinum experience was just being naked and having people yell at you. That seems like a rich person thing to do, right?
Yeah.
I've watched Succession. great.
You're doing great. What the fuck?
Great. Great indeed. 2 XP for you. All right. Let's go to Stars and Wishes, everybody. Whoever wants to go first, yeah.
I wrote this in chat. Dallas introducing themselves as like, oh, my friends called me Dallas, but you can call me Mr. You know what? Just call me Dallas.
So good. Oh my god.
I gotta give a star for Sergeant McBride, because like just trying to wrangle Dallas is a test in itself, and you managed to keep him out of trouble. A star for Roderick for failing to keep Dallas out of trouble. this is going to be an excellent dynamic going forward. Alex, I just love how spooky things are. During this entire time, I was just thinking about, oh my god, there's so many scary stairs. Why are the stairs so spooky?
Oh my god, yes.
And just leading me up the haunted stairs, because like I couldn't stop not be like the hero, and I may have failed. Whoops.
Oh my god. A star to Mike for getting so pissed at the fox traps with the stick. That's the best way to handle that. That was hilarious. And just in general, the I'm gonna go scout and it just going so south is delicious. Star to Dallas for that just whole vibe. What absolutely captured this vibe of a rich tech CEO in a fancy cowboy hat is just, it's delicious. Absolutely
retired
delicious.
Retired too. Retired. No.
Oh God, I forgot you were retired. You
retired
know, you're
early.
You're yeah. One of those on those Reddit forums about retiring at like 30.
Yeah.
and oh my God, I absolutely love just Hank McBride's whole thing. It's so like you're so realistic. The fact like you very much feel like a real like forest ranger who's really just so ready to move to Pensacola. It's delicious. And Alex putting together this whole thing, absolutely fabulous. I love your character voices, by the way. They're very fun.
Yeah, stars all around. That was great. I really enjoyed the dynamic between Hank and Dallas in the camp office of like how do you want to approach this? Good cop, bad cop, you know, greased wheel, squeaky wheel. You're like, yeah, you just hey, let me do the talking. getting in there, and the way that Wes, you talked with Carl Hilliard, just treating him like a prime suspect, just burst right out of the gate. Was hilarious. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Hank's interaction,
too much crimmy minds.
Yeah. Hank's interaction with Larry and Charlotte was really great, because he's just being like, yeah, the stairs, and then you just blinking and just being like, you must be new here. was a very a solid moment of just, we don't talk about the fucking stairs. I thoroughly enjoy echoing what B and others were saying, is that Hank is a very fun character already, and I'm very excited to see him talk about his hatred of bureaucracy for one. Mike's no good, very bad day, broken toe, and already just lost another person. I just really enjoyed the you decided, yeah, no, I'm gonna go up these fucking stairs. That was great. B, oh my god, Roderick is so already too tired for this. And just having Dallas be over here, just be like, no, over here, like a kid, like wrangling a kid at the mall, just be like, get over here, come here, you know, like you gotta put like Dallas on a leash, is just already just being like, what the just in general, our three seasoned professionals, as it were, had a very good time leaning into the, we know about the stairs and we don't talk about the stairs. you know, it was very good. Wishes though, I want to see more of people's moves in play. I'm very primarily the benefactors, very interesting moves in addition to the veterans. I'm excited to see what the resolution of the rescue is going to be, because then we get to go into the out of the woods phase, get to do some character work, do some more role play there, try out some new mechanics in this game's version of the unseen, which I'm excited about. Yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, more vibes.
Mm-hmm. I'm also looking forward to figuring how the unseen works, because I'm not so clear about how it's supposed to go down. Like, when is it supposed to happen? Who knows? I don't. I'm excited for that. I'm also looking forward to learning more about these characters and their crowns. I find it very fascinating that they're called crowns in this game. Right. Yeah.
Same.
Like what does it mean?
What does that mean? Ominous.
I also look forward to seeing more of the mountain, because that's a spooky lad there. And the mountain does not like us at all. Also, I look like that sort of magazine. Oh, I'm so curious about like what happened. Like, why is the 1970s important? Like that sort of thing. Like, I'm very excited. This is a lot spookier than I thought it was going into, and I'm totally here for it. I love spooky things.
I will say, literally every person I've run this for so far, that's the number one reaction I get. They're like, this is a lot scarier than I thought it would be. And I'm like, it is.
It's very scary.
I've got some stars. Alex, you're, based on your hat, I can tell you've been to some rodeos. This is not your first rodeo. And I like how, Alex, I like how you're so like casual when you like describe like the weirdest shit. Like that's when you're like, so just so, yeah. Let's see. Speaking of the magazine, just a star for Chaotic's reaction to the magazine. Like, what? That's weird. I think that was the quote. Another star for Alex. You're really hitting the stairs hard. Like you're really like showcasing the stairs. So star for that. For B, the quote, it's a safety thing. So, and then the whole Roddy's trying to be professional and polite while kind of wrangling Dallas, a star for that. Dumbassery. I can only protect you from dumbassery for some. And then for Dallas, I've got a few. Let's see. Phone out like it's like a Karen in a public park. That was good. After the not deer or whatever that thing is. I had some more for Dallas. Where are they? Oh, the Wilderness Boys. I appreciate the reference. I can't wait until you unleash the Wilderness Boys and how you're gonna like how the Wilderness Boys are gonna fit into this. So a big star for that.
100% a small reference to Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I was getting that vibe when I can't remember his name, the youngest brother, when he had his like fitness camp.
Yes. Yeah. 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 His
all
God his,
all
squad.
His like muscle guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it, like the muscle disciples and everything like that.
Yeah, the disciples, yeah. That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Teaching the holy word through fitness and having a bunch of like big, strong, oiled up, muscly men doing Bible study and working out all the time and rubbing each other down baby oil. It's kind of like that, but with the wilderness
yeah. Boys. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the unsolved unseens they fit into the out of the woods phase, and so I'm interested to see how that works in the between they work into like a really like a, you know, night move terror like bam bam bam. So I'm interested to see how it works in our leisure time and when we're out of the woods and we're not in danger. So that's what I'm looking for my wish.
Awesome. Is that everyone? Or
just some quick stars throw around here. So great characters all around. I can see them vividly in my head. Make absolute sense. I would watch this TV show immediately. just having that moment with Hank in Dallas right before talking in, and like the greasy or the squeaky wheel. That whole thing was great. And it's like, just follow my lead and everything like that. It's like, let me do the talking and everything. And just working well with each other. Daniel was so fun to play with. B, great scene partner. Just I could just riff with you all day. It would just same. Set up like if we ever end up in the same place doing stage improv, let me know. Yeah. That stuff is so good, so fun. Chaotic. This is, what is this, like game number 3 that we're playing in with each other. Technically 4. Go to person that's always going to make the big swings. You're going to make the big decisions. And then you love the consequences, and you want to see the consequences, and you want to experience the consequences, and then move on from the consequences. So that's great. Alex, a lot of stare related horror, which is, you know, is very unique, in my experiences. I'm feeling the monolithic horror vibes from it, which is really good. I love being in games that you run, because you do such a good job. We've, ever since Monstrous Business, and you know, now we're out here like one of God's boys, just hanging out and everything like that, playing TTRPGs. It's great. So yeah, keep on keeping on, man. Wow, that was a, forget I said that. I'm interested to see how good old Dallas and Mike interact with each other, like actually interact with each other. Cause I don't even know how that's going to be, and I'll surprise myself, I'm sure. Yeah, that's me.
Very good. Any other stars or wishes anyone wants to throw out there? No? Okay then. Before we go, as we see Dallas and Roderick running into the woods after the weird-looking deer, the camera pans up, bird's-eye shot of the forest, them running into the tree line. And as the camera pans towards the mountain, there is a flash of light, and suddenly we are somewhere else entirely. A strange castle-like interior of an unknown building. A sustained flash of green lightning outside large arched windows reveals this to be a tower in some surreal realm. A jagged mountain chain twists around the castle, blocking the horizon. A tall figure sits upon a large throne of ancient bronze and slowly stands. It is slender and at least 8 feet tall, with an immense crown of black antlers that make it appear even taller. It is draped in robes of a strange cloth, and its face appears almost featureless, or perhaps it is just hidden behind a smooth white mask. A shadowy servant hands it something, and it looks at it briefly, and then discards it as if in disgust. We see a Magic Hat brewery bottle opener clatter to the ground amongst other detritus such as tourist brochures, t-shirts, baseball caps, and water bottles.